when I started working with clients online through Active Life RX, the number one thing people would tell me was, I've tried everything else. What makes you think this is going to work? And it was January 2018. I had just left my successful clinical practice the December prior, and I needed to be able to describe to people what was different about working with me remotely than working with a doctor in a clinic or working with a trainer in the gym, and why, even if those things didn't work, this might. And so what I want to do today is express to you a better version, frankly, of what I would tell people if I was asked that question again today. Because let's be honest, I get asked that question all the time. Hey, Sean, I saw a physical therapist for a long time and the problem goes away and then it keeps on coming back. What makes you think you're going to be able to help me with it? Hey, Sean, my trainer thinks this, this, this. What makes you think you guys are going to be able to help me with it? Hey, Sean, I've been avoiding using it for the last 10 years. What makes you think you're going to be able to help me with it? Those are the questions that come up, and they are reasonable questions because you're already trying all of the different things and none of the things seem to be working. So why would this be any different? How is this different than the other things? I'm going to break it down for you. Remember, you like this podcast? Go give it a 5-star rating. Just go do it. 2 seconds, 5-star rating. Here's the thing. I'm going to walk you through two different scenarios. I'm going to start you off with the scenario inside of, for example, a physical therapist or a chiropractor's office. When I go through all of this, I want you all to understand something. I am breaking down general rules. Of course, there are people who are doing things specifically different than the way I am breaking them down. But generally speaking, an element of what I'm going to describe exists in all of the different service providers you've probably already seen, because their limitations are inherently built into their business model and into their education model. The reason I went out and built a team to build the education we provide to coaches at Active Life that takes them 13 months and over 1,000 hours to complete is because this stuff doesn't exist anywhere else. It's not because I was like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go reinvent the wheel and find a really hard way to make money by selling the same thing that other people are already doing really well. That wasn't it. No one else was doing it. Frankly, there's still nobody else doing it. But here's the deal. Here's how it goes. Let's start in the physical therapist's office. Then we'll do the same example inside of a gym. And I want you to think about this from the regards, it doesn't matter if you're dealing with the exact condition I'm talking about right now. It could be anything. Excuse me, a little below the weather today, but I wanted to get this in for you. Let's say that you're experiencing knee pain. You have some left knee pain. And you went to the physical therapist, and the physical therapist evaluated your left knee. And they found all kinds of stuff going on with it. It doesn't have the flexibility it needs. It doesn't have the strength it needs. The quad isn't firing in the appropriate timing sequence with the tibialis anterior. The hamstrings aren't functioning in different places of the hip. All this stuff is going on. Fine, whatever. Let's just, who cares what it is? The physical therapist helps to resolve the pain that you're having on a day-to-day basis. And you go from having pain to not having pain. Problem solved, right? Okay. Now you go back to the gym and you start running again. You start squatting again. You start doing all of the things that you were not doing while you were at the physical therapist because you were giving everything you needed to the physical therapist to resolve the issue. And then over time, the problem starts to creep back in. It's not as bad as it was before. You don't have the pain at rest, but you start to feel like, there's still a thing there. I'm just going to be careful. I'm going to baby it a little bit because I don't need this to be a full-blown problem again. It's good enough. I don't want it to become a problem again. That should ring ding, ding, ding in your head. You've probably experienced something like that, be it with your leg, be it with your back, be it with your shoulder, your neck. It doesn't matter. Here's what may have happened there. What may have happened there, first and foremost, is you may have had a problem with your left knee that the physical therapist was unable to evaluate to completion because it really came on as your muscles fatigued. And you showed up in their office just damaged. Just damaged. So it hurt all the time. But the real issue for you comes about as a result of fatigue management. They're not measuring for fatigue in the clinic. They're not going on a 5K with you and watching every stride and seeing where it starts to break down. They're not watching you do a long set of squats and watching it start to break down as you strain through your last reps. They're not watching you do 100 walking lunges and then seeing where it starts to break down. They're not even watching you go through 10,000 steps a day and seeing that at the end of the day is where it starts to break down. That's not what happens inside of a physical therapy clinic. They're only able to evaluate what you present with. They don't have a full gym set up like you do in your regular gym. They don't have the time to watch you go through full workouts on day after day after day. They don't have the systems to collect the data if they can't watch the workouts from day after day after day. So they're not seeing trend lines of what you're doing well, what you're doing poorly, what's getting better, what's not getting better, what's getting worse. They're not seeing any of that. They're not comparing your ability to perform a high intensity bout as compared to your ability to perform a low intensity bout. They're not looking at your ability to perform in the beginning of a workout as compared to your ability to perform at the end of a workout. They're not looking at your discomfort when you're working with heavy weights as compared to your discomfort when you're working with light weights in real time. They're only able to look at it based on how you can describe it when you show up, which I'm sorry, is going to be flawed. We forget most things. It's not important enough to remember. Unless you're keeping a detailed journal, they're not going to be able to review it with any kind of clarity. That's one reason why it might break down. Another reason why the problem might not actually resolve long term is you present to a physical therapist with left knee pain. What if your problem is that your left leg is doing more work than your right leg when you exercise, when you run, when you whatever? It's very rare that that's going to get picked up in a physical therapy clinic for all of the reasons I just described. They just don't have the time, the tools, or frankly, the awareness to be looking for something like that. They're treating the problem that presents. So if your left leg is stronger than your right leg, and you do more work on your run than your left leg than you do on your run on your right leg, what's going to happen is when you're going to present with a problem, it's going to be inflammation in your left leg, the one you overused, not the one that you didn't use enough. So what's going to happen is all of the rehab, all of the focus, all of the modalities are going to go to that left leg. There isn't the ability to build the kind of strength that you would need, functional strength, in a physical therapy clinic in the right leg to align it with the left. And so the clinical practice model dictates that they're not even going to be looking for that. In the rare occasion that they do, what generally happens is they will get that leg to performing at a similar degree as the left, which means you're going to be resolved of your symptoms for a reasonable amount of time. But then what happens is they're not in control of the programming that you were doing that led you to that problem in the first place. And because you're done, they've released you back into the gym. Now you're going back to whatever programming you were doing before, which led to the asymmetry, which led to the problem. And they're not the person who is going to continue your program design thereafter. And they're not the person who's going to educate you on what to look for in program design in a way that is reliable or has any expectation that's going to stick and you're going to be independent long-term. Look, whether we like it or not, the number one indicator that you're going to need physical therapy in the future is that you needed physical therapy in the past. That's it. Like it, don't like it, doesn't matter. That's the math. The number one indicator that you're going to need physical therapy in the future for your left knee, remember, left knee is standing, your disc, your shoulder, your neck, your ankle, your Achilles, it doesn't matter. The number one indicator that you are going to need physical therapy in the future for the thing that you went to physical therapy for most recently is that you went to physical therapy for something already. You are more likely to need physical therapy a second time than you were to need physical therapy a first time. Think about that. It is not a complete solution. There needs to be a handoff. So now that comes to the handoff. The handoff should be made to a coach or a trainer. The coach or the trainer should be able to evaluate, what did the physical therapist do? What was the injury? How long was the rehab? What was your acute training volume prior to working out, prior to going to physical therapy? What is your acute training volume now? What is your chronic training volume now? What was your chronic training volume then? If those are terms you've never heard before, it's because your physical therapist or your trainer is obviating what I'm describing. They haven't taught those terms to you, so you can't possibly do the math on how much training you should do to, quote, ease back into it. Now, the trainer is going to do their best to ease you back into it, but what math are they using? Let's say the handoff was made. What math is the personal trainer using? Are they breaking out formulas like we do? Or are they just gauging it based on how you feel and how you perform and what you say when you show up? It's the latter. How are they deciding which exercises you should do more of right now, which exercises you should do less of right now? Let's pretend you're post-surgical. You had surgery. You went to physical therapy. You now have anchors in. Ask your trainer, what's the difference between how you would serve me if I went to physical therapy for 14 weeks after I had four anchors put into my shoulder compared to if I went to physical therapy for 6 weeks after I had a micro tear of my supraspinatus muscle and no anchors put into my shoulder? I promise you the answer is, I don't even know what that means. That's not the trainer's fault. It's not the trainer's job. That's the reality. They haven't been taught that because it's not generally their job. That's what we teach trainers to do. That's what we teach in ALP. It's what we do at Active Life RX for our remote clients, but that's not what's happening inside of a gym on a regular basis. Now let's go a step further. Let's say you go back to the gym after rehab and everything does start to go great. Awesome. Awesome. But you're not listening to this because that's what's happened. You're listening to this because you've tried all the things and it hasn't worked, or it still feels a little bit off. That's because the return to activity was incomplete. When we teach ALPs how to help clients, there's an entire module on return to activity. It's not short. It is difficult. And it is a place where a lot of our students get held up because of the complexity of what's going on, especially if you're training mixed modality. If you're a marathon runner, it's easy. It's just math in that case. But if you're doing all kinds of functional training or playing sports, we have to think about so many different variables to build back in. We need to build stamina. We need to build motor control. We need to build strength. Then we need to go back to the top and do it all over again. You think you're ready when physical therapy is over, but really there's another 12 weeks. It shouldn't feel like 12 more weeks of therapy. It should feel like 12 weeks of training, but that training should be really specific to get you back to a place where you're going to be able to do everything you need to do without ever having to think about it again. Now, let's go the other way. Let's say you didn't go to the physical therapist at all in the first place. You started off with the trainer. Hey, my back hurts, or hey, my knee hurts. Let's stay on the knee. No problem. We can work around it. What hurts? Running hurts my knee. Mostly when I land on the front leg, when the front leg is the landing leg, it hurts my knee. Walking lunges hurt my knee. In that case, it's actually when it's the back leg more often. It's right above the kneecap. It's that tendon above the kneecap. Squatting hurts until it gets warmed up. Then it's better. On and on and on and on and on. Okay. So now what the coach is going to do is they're going to warm you up really well before they squat you. Is that better? Yeah, it's great. Thank you. And they're right. And that's a smart thing to do. What are they going to do with the running? They're going to stop you from running. What about the lunges? They're going to stop you from lunging. But is that the right thing to do? What if you need those things to get better? One of the most common things that we see in clients who try to get their problems resolved with trainers but fail and then find themselves working around it for the rest of their lives is they're dealing with some kind of a tendon issue. This is really, really, really frequent. It's not the only thing, but tendinopathies are really, really simple to solve if you know what you're looking for, and really difficult, borderline impossible to solve. You can even make it worse if you don't. If you've had a tendon issue for more than, let's say, 2-3 months, And it's not getting any better. But it does get better as you use it. But it gets worse when you stop using it. And when you start using it from a cold, it really sucks. Generally speaking, that tendon needs to be put under load. It needs to be put under a very specific amount of load for a very specific amount of time, for a very specific amount of reps, for a very specific amount of rest at a very specific RPE, for a very specific frequency during the week. There is research that backs very specific protocols that are adaptable based on how you, the client, are responding to the way the protocol is applied. Trainers don't know these protocols. Trainers don't know these protocols exist. Trainers are not taught the difference between a degenerative tendon and an inflamed tendon. Trainers are not taught how to gauge whether the amount of pain you're experiencing is appropriate or not. So what happens is they're doing the responsible thing and they're avoiding the thing that they believe could make you worse. The reality is avoiding the thing that they think could make you worse when in reality it's a thing that's going to make you better is just one example of how a trainer unknowingly and accidentally makes you worse. So you might think, I've tried everything. I went to physical therapy, it started to get better. I went to the gym, it started to get worse. My trainer is now starting to work around it. So I kind of have it under control. I just can't do some of the things I used to do before. You never finished the therapy, never finished in the return to sport or in the return to activity. You went to the trainer first. The trainer didn't know what to do, so they worked around it, but you weren't with the trainer because you wanted to work around it. The trainer wasn't taught how to do this stuff. Let me explain something to you. The most rigorous education for trainers is the CSCS, which is put out by NSCA. If you want to be a strength and conditioning coach at a university, you need the CSCS to even be considered. In order to get the CSCS, you need to have a college degree and then you need to take the education and pass the course. That's like a 6-month minimum education and passing of the course, but you're doing it on your own time. That's it. There's no mentorship. There's no guidance. There's no tutors. Like, you're figuring all that out on your own. You can hire somebody, but that's not delivered by the company. What comes after that is weekend seminars. Weekend seminars. I think NASM has like a 12-week, 6-hour long, something of the nature, corrective exercise specialist course. But again, it's all out of a book. It's all just online with no guidance, no mentors, no accountability, no assurance that it's going to work. And it's not depthy enough. It's not even close to depthy enough. We built our education to be 13 months long and to require 1,000 hours to complete and for not everybody to get through it. We wanted it to be too hard for a lot of people to finish. It has 1,000 test questions. It has an 800-page textbook that we wrote, almost 100 assignments, case studies, regular meeting with a mentor, daily meeting with subject matter experts to make sure that the students going through it know what they're talking about, a community of other professionals who are working with them to make sure that the things that they're seeing are being shared as a community so that they can get better faster. This is a different level of professional that you're looking for. And at Active Life RX, our team who's internal, these are the people who we found from that group who are the best of the best, and we've decided to hire them to work with you remotely. Now, if you're looking for someone to help you in person, find an ALP. Find me on Instagram at Dr. Sean Pastuch. Shoot me a DM. Let me know where you are. I will help you find an ALP. They are exceptional. And frankly, there are some of them that are, I'm envious of the skill set that they have that we can't get them on our staff because they're too successful to be hired. That's the reality. They're too successful to be hired. They're entrepreneurial and they're killing it. If you're looking to work with somebody remotely, and you think everything else that you've tried should have worked, but it didn't, and you don't know why, and you're frustrated, and you're looking for more, Active Life RX might be what you're looking for, even if you've tried everything else. one of the taglines I thought about running with a while ago and decided not to because I thought it'd be bad for marketing was, we're the last resort you'll wish you tried first. I didn't run with it for obvious reasons. I don't want people to try us last. Hope this was helpful. Turn pro.